I just leaned over to Carla, so I'm a little scared because I'm not nervous this morning.
I usually am. I didn't pray for you.
It's okay. I knew you would.
You want to hear?
Yeah.
Don't be nervous. Just keep glancing over at Carla. She gives you that look. You know you're off base.
That's pretty much every day.
Yep, I understand. All right. God, I pray for Rick right now. Lord, we pray that he would have your heart this morning. God, we ask that your spirit would stop his flesh from saying anything that it wants to say and that it would release anything that you want to say, God. We ask, Lord, that you would speak every word that you want to speak through Rick and just have your power be met here, God. We ask that we would feel and sense your heart, God, ultimately, and that you would have your way here with Rick and with this congregation. God, teach us here this morning. Help us to be teachable and help us to learn something that we can apply to our lives. God, we pray that you would anoint Rick for this time and that he would do a great job for you in your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thanks, Mike. Happy Father's Day to all you guys, all you fathers. I want to say something before I get into anything. One of the things that has blessed me about Living Hope, and it's something that the Lord really started in me a number of years ago when I was giving a message, and he reminded me that I wasn't the weakest link in my family line, but I was the first link of a new chain, a new legacy. And in the 7.5 years Carl and I have been here, I have been so blessed and honored by people like Dave Hokanson and Andy Hess and Joe Hess and Henry Buckwalter and some others who have gone before, Dick Landis, who isn't even here, that have gone before and planted seeds that have caused Living Hope to become what she's becoming. I just want to honor you guys. Thank you. Greg, I didn't mean to leave you out, but you're one of the young ones. You're one of the young old guys. I have a page of notes, which is unusual for me in itself, because I tend to shoot from the hip, and I can be talking to you and all of a sudden squirrel. You know, it's one of those deals. I get distracted, so there's going to be stuff that comes off of this and stuff that goes with it. I'm just asking you to roll with it. I love being a father. God has called me to be a father in the natural. I've been a brother and a son. I have 4 sisters. Some of them claim me, some of them don't. I've been a friend. There's even a pretend grandchild in here, but I think she's teaching this morning. But I've been a grandfather. I'm about to become a grandfather again in about a month. I have been blessed because I didn't grow up with that kind of legacy around me. Who I am today, what God has given me, what God has for each one of us, comes straight from him. 37.5 years ago, the Lord touched my life just because I said yes. And he lifted me up out of a pit. My life has never been the same. Anything I have to share this morning is what he's done in me. Being a father is about sowing seeds that build a legacy that goes on from one generation to the next. I think one of the father's greatest tasks, one of his greatest privileges, is to build a platform for his children. My dad was not able to do that for me. And I love my dad. Please don't mistake anything I say this morning as being a judgment or a criticism of him. He lost his father when he was about 10 or 11 years old. He didn't know how to father me beyond that stage. Could he have found out? Possibly. But he didn't, and that's just the way it is. It's part of the journey God had for me, not for him. I asked him one time about how he felt about God, and he said, well, when my father was sick, I prayed for him that he wouldn't die, and God let him die. And I just figured God didn't care about me. And I said to him, I said, Dad, I'm so sorry, but that's a lie. Don't ever let your experience tell you that God's not who he says he is. He loves you in a way that you can't imagine. This is my second Father's Day this week. Wednesday night, we had the privilege of going to a funeral. A friend of mine, friend of ours, I'd known Raymond for close to 35 years. And I knew a lot about him. I knew a lot about his struggles, about his battles in really having a solid walk with God. But that man got up every day and he went after God. We sat there Wednesday night and listened to his four children and his wife talk about what he meant to them. And it was all about his faithfulness, his love for them. Rachel, his oldest daughter, told a story about he wanted her to come out. He was working on his car in the garage, and he said, come out here and just sit. She said, what do you want me to do? He said, I just want you to sit here. I just want to be with you. That was his heart. Those boys of his have such a heart for God today because of what they saw their father do. Because every time they had an encounter with him, good, bad, or otherwise, he would hug them and he would tell them that he loved them. They'd have an argument on the phone, and 5 minutes later they'd call each other back and say, I'm sorry. And he would say, I love you. That's so, so important for us as guys. And ladies, I'm not excluding you. But what a dad does, what a father does, goes on for generations. These guys that I mentioned in the beginning, they're sowing seeds, they're bearing fruit from what has gone before them. Don't ever think that what you're doing doesn't count, because it does. It does. As I said, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, in a real terrific environment. There was a lot of emotional tension. My dad was not a real, I'm not going to say he wasn't a strong person, but he knuckled under sometimes. He was not able to pour into me what I needed to have poured into me. We were very different. My dad was black and white. I'm unchained. But I did learn some good values. I did learn right from wrong. I did learn some basic functioning things from my dad. But what I needed from him was what the Father ultimately poured out into my heart about, 7.5 years ago? I grew up feeling like I wasn't good enough, that I was not accepted. And looking back on it, I know that I was, but it didn't come to me in a package that I could receive. It wasn't something that really, really spoke to me, something that I could carry on through life. But again, my dad did a lot of good for me. Probably most of what I share with you this morning is going to be testimonial. It's really my journey in the Father's love. I think from the time that I got saved, I wanted nothing more than to experience the Father's love. And probably for 10 years, almost every day, God, show me how much you love me. And it just wasn't happening. It just wouldn't happen. I knew it. I knew it here. I believed it. But it wasn't here. And I didn't know how to get it there. And I wanted somebody to come alongside me and father me, and it just wouldn't happen. Whether it was an employer, whether it was a friend, whether it was a pastor, it just didn't happen for me. And then when we first started coming to Living Hope, I had the opportunity to go to Jack Frost Ministry School called Shiloh Place for a three-week thing. This was kind of a fun story for me because my wife suggested that I go, and I'm thinking, this is going to cost us a lot of money, and my wife doesn't like to spend money, so this has to be God. And it was. But I spent 3 weeks going through classes, you know, learning about the Father's heart and learning how to do ministry and so forth. And the next to last night I was there, the Father woke me up in the middle of the night. And didn't really have anything on my heart in particular, but he reminded me of a scripture. I knew what it said, but I couldn't remember where it was. I got up and I looked in the Bible, I couldn't find it. Turns out it was a life verse that the Lord had given me 20 years before. And he gave it to me again that night. It's Isaiah 43, and just the first couple of lines. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. The next night, the Lord woke me up again. And I said, okay, I want to go to sleep. What is going on? And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I just wanted to spend some time with you. Now, let me tell you something. That doesn't mean anything to anybody but me. But it broke my heart. Because it told me that I was that important to him. That he valued my life so much that he would go out of his way to enter into my life. Just to have some time with me. I wish I were as faithful to spend time with him as he is to spend time with me. So, part of what we've heard over the last couple of weeks is about identity, some of the obstacles, some of the problems that we run into. There's not a more important task, I think, that a father's given than to pour identity into his children. When I heard the Father speak to me, I knew. It went from here to here in a moment's time. Changed my life forever. There was a line in the song that we sang, nobody can take this away. Nobody. Nobody can talk me out of the Father's love. I just want to say to you, you can't imagine how much he loves you. He sees everything about you. I mean, look, I'm still the same grubby guy on the inside that I always was. But the Father loves me. And because he loves me, things change. It allows things to bubble up with. Thank you so much. You know, we sang about what he's done for us. That's only a piece of it. It's important. There's no question about it. God has done everything necessary for us to have a relationship with him. But more than just accepting the gift of salvation, he wants relationship with us. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to involve himself in every aspect of our lives. What happens if you don't have that relationship, and this happened to me, I grew up in insecurity. I didn't have a vision for anything. I had no idea who I was or what I was supposed to do. I can remember the day that I graduated from high school. I was in panic mode because I had no clue as to who I was. I was standing on a wagon in front of a hedgerow at Media Heights Golf Course with hedge clippers in my hand thinking, what do I do now? What do I do now? I had no idea. I wasn't going to college. Had no vision. I talked to my dad about what I wanted to do. He kind of shot that down. So I grew up with no direction. There was really no one to follow. I mean, my dad, again, he was good. He was a good man. He was faithful. He provided for us. He played catch with me. We went fishing once or twice. But he didn't show me how to follow. He didn't know God. He didn't know God. His inability to connect with me on an emotional level is what really was lacking in my life. So dads, with your sons especially, love them, hug them, spend time with them. Even if it's just sitting in a room not saying a word to each other, be an example for them. You know, I'm forgive me because I bounce all around. I'll get to it eventually. There were a lot of things that I grew up with that made an impact on me, things that I heard spoken to my father and about my father that were negative, that he was a failure, that he was no good, that he couldn't be a good provider. Just a whole litany of things that I listened to probably for 10 or 12 years of my life. Those things became my identity. I grew up believing that. But that was about me. I could not be anything more than what I believed I was. But the Father doesn't have that for us. That's one of the biggest drawbacks, I think, is that it's easier for us to believe what's said about us or what we think about ourselves or what we build for ourselves out here than it is to really take in and embrace the truth of the Father's love for us. I mean, what do we say to each other, guys, when we meet somebody for the first time? What do? That's not who you are. It's not who I am. A better question is, who am I? Except that'll freak people out when you say that. Who are you? I don't know. So those false fronts, you know what those false fronts are about? They're about protection. Because every one of us has been hurt. Every one of us has had our heart damaged. The best father in the world will damage your heart. Because we're all broken. And we all come from brokenness. And it's only Jesus that restores that to us. But what happens is we find ways to protect our hearts because we don't want to be hurt again. So, what do? We get a job that becomes our image. I drank and did drugs. Some people just run. I have a sister that ran away. I have a sister that's got some mental and emotional issues. I was an alcoholic. My other sister became an educator, and education became her God. We all find ways to hide because we don't want our hearts to be hurt. But in order to get healed, in order to be free, we need to open our hearts and allow the Lord in. Allow him into those places that are damaged, that cause a lot of pain. It's one of the unfortunate truths of this world that is, in order to be healed from pain, you have to expose the pain. So those protections become our false image. They become idolatry, idols after a while. It's what we depend on. It's what we rely on. But it keeps us out of relationship with, not with just each other, but out of relationship with him, which is the most significant relationship we can have. So, you know, when I was in the Jack Frost School down in South Carolina, I read a book called The Return of the Prodigal Son. It's by a guy named Henri Nouwen. He's a Dutch minister, I think. Is that right, Dutch? But anyway, he had an experience. He saw a poster of Rembrandt's painting of The Return of the Prodigal, and he was really caught up in it. So much so that he began to travel to Petersburg, Russia, which is now Leningrad, or maybe it's back to Petersburg, I don't know, St. Petersburg, but anyway, the museum, the Hermitage is there, and that's where that original painting hangs, and he went there and sat in front of it for hours and days on end and just allowed the Lord to download stuff to him. And what he realized was the prodigal, how many of you, who's the most important person in the parable of the prodigal? Father God. That's right. Most of us have been taught that it's the son, that he's the focus, the wayward son, because we all identify with that. But the real prodigal is the father, because prodigal means extravagant. It means even wasteful. So when we look at ourselves and we realize the father loves us, we could say that that love is wasteful, but it's not. He doesn't waste anything. You know, I look around this room and I see a bunch of guys that I spend a lot of time with. And I love every one of them. I've told them many times that if it weren't for the Father, I would have nothing to do with any of them. But that's a two-way street, too, because they probably wouldn't want to be with me either. Stop nodding. But it's the love that the Father showed me, 37 years ago. 37 years ago, the Lord got me so wired up that I had to run out and make a phone call to call somebody that I knew Jesus and come over to my house. And he led me to the Lord, and the Lord took my life in 180 degrees from that moment, 37 and a half years ago. My life went 180 degrees in the other direction. Now, the journey into the Father's love has been a lot longer, a lot more difficult, because there's all that stuff we have to wade through. But let me tell you something. God is faithful. I mean, we hear it all the time, but look, folks, it's true. He's faithful. I don't care what your mess is. If you come to him, he's going to straighten it out. He's not going to push you away. He's not going to judge you. He's not going to wreck your life. Well, he will, but in a good way. Do you know what I mean? It's like, there's so much. I forgot to say this at the beginning, and I really wanted to, because this was, for 2 weeks, this has been my lead line in this talk. It was 31 years ago, yesterday, I became a father for the first time. My oldest is 31 now. Getting old. I was scared to death. I didn't tell you this. I was scared to death. I had no idea what to do. But you know what? For the previous 9 months until the day she was born, God was preparing my heart, unbeknownst to me. He was getting me ready. Did I make mistakes? My goodness, I made mistakes. I still do. But you know what? My kids love me still. Still. It's an amazing thing. I don't know how this happened for me. Maybe it was just the wisdom of my wife. But we learned early on to recognize who our children were and to help them become that, instead of trying to fit them into some form or some box that wasn't them. Jenny, our firstborn, was relatively easy. I think from the age of 9 or 10, all she wanted to do was get married and have a family. She didn't even want to go to school after high school. We kind of pushed her into that because she needed to get out and grow up a little bit away from home. But you know what she's doing today? She's a wife. She's a wife and a mother. She's about to become a mother for the third time, and she's great at it. She is great at it because God graced us with the knowledge and the wisdom to say, who is this kid? What does she want to do? How can we help her be that? My second daughter, Katie, is a whole nother story. If any of you know Katie, I know Mary knows her. She's everywhere. She's got something new. Unfortunately, she takes after me. But you know what? She's 28 now. Yeah. Finally in her life, her heart's passion is starting to take form, because we saw that this kid's she's not an academic. She's not going to go to school. She doesn't need that. She needs to be given the freedom to express herself in the way that she knows best. She's a photographer. She's very good. I'm bragging, but it's okay. She's very good. She just had her first show a couple of weeks ago. She's got two more this summer can't even think of the name of it. It's in Columbia somewhere. But anyway, it doesn't really matter. But here's the point. Here's the point. Who are your children? Who are they? What's their passion? What do you see them doing all the time? I mean, Katie, my goodness, we had our house rewired, 30 years ago, 25 years ago. You know where she was? She was in the attic watching the electricians, asking questions. That's who she is. That's the most important thing. I mean, the scripture in Proverbs, it says, raise up a child in the way they should go, to teach them the scriptures, right and wrong. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the foundation. But beyond that, who are they? What's their passion? Guys that know me probably get irritated with me because I ask them that all the time. What's your passion? What's that thing that floats your boat? Some of you know, I'm going to tell this story on Frank because he's not here. Frank Cazillo, our families have known each other for 20, 25 years. Frank says 19, but eh. I used to ask him that question all the time. I read it in a book called Wild at Heart. If you've ever read Wild at Heart, great, read it again. If you haven't read it, read it. I would ask Frank that all the time, and he would get so mad at me. He said, one day I just wanted to slap you. I'm so tired of hearing it. But about three or four years ago, he came to me and he said, you know what? I think I know what my passion is. I said, what is it, Frank? He said, I want to be a funeral director. I just looked at him and I'm thinking, of course you do. If you know Frank, it fits. It's perfect. Carlos saw him one day when he was filling in for Shides when he was in school. He's driving down the road in a hearse from the car wash. And Carlos said, he looks so natural. And I said, that's him. Listen, we're here to do what God has given us to do. We're here with a purpose, and it's the Father's responsibility to help to bring that about. When you know what your passion is, you know why you're here. When I asked the Lord that question, he said, broken people. I'm like, okay, broken people. I knew it fit a little bit because I like people, and I'm kind of a natural-born counselor, if I can say it that way, without bragging. But the Lord has taken that, and he has refined it, and he has tweaked it, and he has softened it in a lot of ways, and he's made it into what it is today. God's called me to be a father, not something I would have chosen, not something I felt the least bit equipped to be. But because I chose to respond to that and say, okay, Lord. I had people come up to me out of the blue telling me that I was a father, and I'm like, get away from me. Just go away. Because I wasn't ready to hear it. I didn't believe that I could be that. And in my natural state, obviously, I can't, but it's him. It's all him. So, I'm passionate about fathering. I'm passionate about men in the right way. I love men. I love hanging out with men. I never wanted to be around men when I was younger. Wanted nothing to do with it because I didn't know how to be a man. I didn't know who I was. But I love men. And I hug men all the time. Those that will let me. Mike. We'll get there. We'll get there. But the reason I do is because I know how much I need that in my life, and I know how much other men need that in their lives. It's okay. It's okay to be loved by a man in a right way. It's okay to be held and embraced by a man. I was so impressed on Wednesday night where those boys stood up there and said, you know, my dad just hugged me all the time. He told me he loved me all the time. And I'm like, yes! Absolutely. If you've got sons, love them. If they run away from you, chase after them. Go get them, wrestle them to the ground, and hug them and tell them that you love them, because someday they're going to say, I'm so glad my dad did that for me. I'm more nervous now than I was at the beginning. I want to talk a bit about fatherlessness. And all you got to do is open your eyes and read the newspaper or watch a news broadcast. That is what's wrong with our culture, my opinion. Fathers who abandon their families, I know we've got some single moms in here, and I'm so sorry. I am so sorry that the father of your children abandoned you. It breaks my heart. But I'm going to challenge you other guys. There are single moms in here and there are fatherless children in here. It's up to us to step up and pour into their lives. You are my family. We are all family. We're all in this together. And if we're going to reverse the trend that's going on in our culture, it starts here with each one of us. I don't care how old you are. I didn't start this journey until I was 58 years old. So it's never too late. It's never too late. I look back and my life was a wreck. You know what? I don't despise any of it today. I'm grateful to God for my life, for everything that happened, because it's part and parcel of who I am. It was all, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. I was talking about it with Dottie this morning. Some of you know Mike Abel. Mike's up at Teen Challenge in Buffalo right now, and he's really doing well. But what he said to Dottie and to me on the phone yesterday was, I've learned to look at my life and praise God for every bit of it. It doesn't matter how good or how bad it is, to have that grateful heart, to be able to say, thank you, Lord, I praise you. Thank you for giving me what you gave me. Because this is our journey. It's like we become who we are when we turn our hearts to him. We become who we're supposed to be when we turn our hearts to him. And he's ready. He's waiting. What's it say in Romans? He's waiting for the sons of men. The sons of men to rise up and take their place. That's our call, guys. Again, not to exclude the ladies. You young guys, that's the call. Allow your fathers to love you. Allow your fathers to pour into you. I'm sure most of you have. Most of you have good dads. That's a great thing. It's a great legacy to have to build on. Don't despise it. Don't despise it. Culturally, we're a mess. Again, I believe it's because of fatherlessness. When you look around to see people grasping after things to help satisfy their lives in a natural way, they're grasping for a father. They're looking for somebody to say, I love you, you're worth it, you're valuable, come alongside me, let's go, let's do this together. I don't know where I'm going, but God does, so come on, let's go. Let's do it together. We're very fortunate at Living Hope. There are a lot of godly men in this body. A lot of godly men. Probably 95%, maybe more. Not to exclude anybody. So, you have a legacy already in you. You're already equipped. Peter says that everything for life and godliness has been given to you. It's already there. Take a step and pour it out. Sometimes it's just going and having coffee with somebody. That's what our kids want more than anything else, is time. Just go and do it. Push past the woundedness, push past the insecurity, push past the fear of rejection, and just do it. Hi, my name is Rick. My name is Rick. I used to be an alcoholic. I'm not anymore. God has saved me and redeemed me. Come on, let's go have coffee. So what about true identity? If it doesn't come from what we do, if it's not what's been said about us, if it's not what we think about ourselves or what we believe about ourselves, what is it? What is our true identity? We're sons. We're children of the Most High God. Pure and simple. Pure and simple. Don't forget, that's who God made you to be. And ladies, I'm talking to you too. We're all sons. We're all sons. He's called every one of us by name. He's redeemed every one of us. And he wants us to have so much more. I think for me, the thing that probably helped me along in this journey more than anything else was I just got hungry. I got tired of being the way that I was. I got tired of living empty. And I didn't know what to do, so I said, God, make me hungry. Make me hungry. He'll show up. He'll show up. He has given each one of us an identity. He's given each one of us a purpose. He's given each one of us a legacy to build. but it's in Him, it's in that relationship with Him that comes to pass. No other way. We try. I mean, when I was talking to Mike yesterday, he said, you know, I tried so hard to be worthy. I tried so hard to earn my way. And he said, I just didn't get it. I just didn't get it until recently. And God just woke me up and said, you know what? I love you the way you are. And everything in your life is worth praising me for. Changed his heart in a moment. So, I don't know what else to say. I really don't. I mean, I love God as fully as I am capable, and I know it's not enough, so I want more. I want to love God more because I know that as I open my heart, all those places in my heart that are broken to Him, He's going to love me more. As you pour your life out on behalf of somebody else, as you pour out the Father's love, there's more room for His love to come into you. What I do, I mean, you guys, most of you know, I do prayer ministry, I do inner healing prayer ministry. That's not me, that's Him. I'm just being obedient to what He put in my life to do. I got nothing to offer. I have nothing to offer any of you except my Jesus. That's it. That's it. It's that simple. So don't let the distortions, the brokenness, the wounds, all the garbage that the enemy has thrown in your life, don't let it keep you away from the most precious, honoring thing that you could ever receive in this life. That's the love of the Father. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Not just words. You know? Like I said, when He speaks that to you, I mean, that's when I do prayer ministry, that's my goal. I tell guys, I said, look, I got nothing to offer you. I can share my experience with you. We'll walk through this together. My goal is to help you identify the things in your heart that are keeping you out of that love relationship. But that's my goal. Because I'm not the healer. He is. I can't fill up anybody's heart, but He can. Don't know what else to say. I'm sure there's more. When I pray together with guys, I ask them to ask the Lord, how do you see yourself? It's a good question to ask yourselves. How do I see myself? More often than not, it's negative. After you ask that question and get an answer, I want you to ask another question. Jesus, how do you see me? I guarantee you it's going to be different. I can remember when I came back from South Carolina, I was in a hugging mode. That's all they did down there. They would grab you. There was this guy named Nobby Knowles. And every time he got near Nobby, he would come up and give you a big hug, and he would just hang on. The first time I saw this guy was in a restaurant in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. He just comes up, I said, who is this guy? But he taught me to express my love and my care for people in the same way. So when I came home, my son-in-law was there, and I went up and I just grabbed Noah and I hug him and just hang on to him. And he's like looking around the room like, what did I do? How do I get away from this? A couple of days later, I got angry with one of my daughters. And I walked in the bathroom and I looked in the mirror and I said, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I blew it. Do you still love me? He said, of course I do. We can't drive the Father's heart away from us. We can just keep it at bay by not letting Him come in. So, don't. We have so much to give. The world is dying. I mean, the world is dying for the Father's love. We have so much here. Take it. Let the Lord just increase it and continue to pour it out. Everybody you see. I don't care if it's a coworker, a classmate, whatever. Everywhere you go. Some of them are really, really hard. I know there's some ladies in this church who've been really pouring their hearts out to somebody. but it's out of love, and that love is going to break the yoke. It's going to set captives free, because that's what the Father wants for not that only that person, but for every one of us. And it's up to us. When it's been given, take it. Go run with it. Run with it. You know what I do? Simple stuff. I go to Dunkin' Donuts every morning. Much to some people's chagrin. I prefer Dunkin' Donuts. Thankfully, a couple of people aren't here anymore that are coffee, I'll say connoisseurs, but that's not really what I mean. I find out what their name is, and every morning when I pull up to the speaker, I say, good morning, Laura. Just to make them feel a little bit cared about, a little bit special. It doesn't take a lot, folks. You have it in you. Let it out. Okay? I think I'm done. Want people to come? Okay. Yeah, all right. Worship team, would you come up and set up and do the last song? And listen, if you've had a broken relationship with your father, if your father's been cruel, if he's been abusive, if he's not been there, if he's abandoned you, whatever, come up front for prayer. The Lord wants to heal that place in you. Don't let the enemy steal that away from you. The altar's open. It's always open, but it's especially open this morning. Come up, and we will pray with you. Okay? You haven't done anything so wrong. You haven't gone so far away from the Father that he's not there and not ready. So, okay?